Carnival World, Chapter 62. Most of those present recognized that sound pattern, but for those who did not, it took only a few moments for the skipjack to uncloak and settle onto the circular icon of Amaruca. Padre elbowed Anselm and shouted,
"Right as rain, lads and lassies," he added. "A boot bloody time someone covered up that Nicky Ben's picture."
Zales jumped out of the skipjack before the landing ramp was fully open. "At ease, everyone. Kai, you better have a good reason for skipping my sitrep, or I am going to chew you a new Paducah hole, and I can see you just had a major battle, and obviously you won the day, but that is no excuse for not reporting to me, Kai. I'll expect a full sitrep and debriefing when we get back." Ranger Maria stood up wobbling like a drunk and saluted Zales. "At ease, soldier. Sit down before you fall down. Kai, you look as pale as an Hawaiian Ekulalepu ghost. Sit down by Maria and wait for the medics." Zales waved at the four Sino-sheriffs and the camera crew. Then he yelled behind him, "Medics, double time it now. Team one, get Gordo on a gurney and into the skipjack now. Med team two, check on Rangers Kai and Schmitty. Today, medics, not tomorrow. Dr. Kimball, get over by my Rangers. Take your time, Daphne, but get started now." Walking up to the rest of the group, Zale saw that Gordo was laying on the ground, covered in a blanket and unmoving. He barked, "Is the half-orc a casualty?" "I hope not. And not just because of the paperwork. Gordo has the brains of a billy goat and the mouth of a mockingbird, but he is quite useful when he is not being ruled by his gonads and his appetites." Bard replied, "Injury, yes, death, no. He's just comatose, Commander Zales. As for Ranger Guy's failure to report, remember the green glowing stones from Dragon's Roost." Zales scowled, then hawked a goober onto the temple floor. "Radioactive malachite. Again." He shook his head and scowled. "Okay, Ranger Kai, you're off my crap list for now." Anselm asked Zales if he wanted a coffee or a tea. The commander glared at Anselm momentarily, then smiled and said, "Yeah, Padre Cruz, fix me up a coffee black." "Sorry, everyone. I figured there was an emergency when Kai missed the sit rep. The skipjack doesn't have the promised mess crew. I brought the medics instead." "The good Carnival City blimp is on its way. Give it a good 30 minutes. After we board it, the waitstaff will be serving a supper buffet. Everyone here is welcome to supper." He walked over to the center of the camp area and asked, "Big J, I see you have met the Sino-Sheriffs. Did you get any good pictures of the cryptids?" Big J replied, "Yes, Commander Zales, amigo. I know we got some good still shots, and I'm going to check the main vidcam now." Zales nodded his head and started to say, "I'm afraid I've got some bad news." Suddenly, he hunched forward, and his gun-turned eyes swept the group. "Who's missing? Don't let me prattle on until the sit-rep is over. Spit it out, cadets." The four sheriffs growled. Zales paused, then exclaimed, "Heavens to Murkytroids, not you, Sheriff Bo. I am yelling at my Rangers and Orlando Bard." Zales started sprinting over to his Rangers, who were being poked and prodded by two of Team 2's meddecks. Then he came to a full stop and snapped, "Peter, Paul, and Moses." He spun on a dime and barked, "Bard, who is missing and why? And spit it out, Orlando, before I get really mad. One of these days, Bard." He wound up his fist like Jackie Gleason in The Honeymooners. Zales barked, "One of these days, Bard, right to the moon." Bard sighed and replied, "Jose, one of the archaeology and film crew gophers, locked himself in the port-a-potty when the battle started." Zales dramatically lifted his arms to the skies. Everyone standing around with their hands up their prison pockets, "and not one of you miserable excuses from Bard Academy and Ranger School got his skinny little Latino Paducah out of there. I suppose, rather, then roust him out of there. You all just ripped him out and watered the flowers off the edge of the cliff. Zale's feet walked over and rattled the porta-potty entrance hatch. He slammed his clenched fist on the plastic door. Jose, out of the head, now, unlock the door, now. I am not going to be a happy camper if I have to drag you out, Jose. Move it, move it, move it. Zale started to yell for Big J and then turned his icy stare on Gomez. Shutting his mouth, then reopening it, Zale screamed, "Foreign, unlawful, carnal knowledge!" Zales looked as if he had been about to kick the door, but caught himself first. "No response at all, Commander?" asked Bard. He added, "I'm not hearing any sounds from in there." He shouted, "Mystica, your ears are better than mine. Are you hearing any sounds from inside the porta-potty?" "Basically, no," replied Mystica. Bard asked, "Do you want me to get my axe and bust the door?" Zale scowled, "No, too much paperwork. I've got enough paperwork without making more, Orlando." The commander yelled, "Team 2, are you listening?" "Yes, sir," yelled a gal on Team 2. "Johnson, grab the rubber mallet from the toolbox." When Zale saw that she was walking, rubber mallet in hand, he snapped, "Get your Johnson over here now, Medic Johnson. Run." Johnson raced to the commander. He scowled at her and snapped, "Give me the mallet, then go help Medic Avery with Kai Schmidt and Dr. Kimball." Bard followed Zales as he fast walked to the porta potty. He blew through his lips, then said, as Bard and the Sinoceps joined him, "Did you know that porta potties are well known for capturing scared toddlers and holding drunks that pass out and lock themselves inside? High stupidness." He paused. "Not on my watch. I had a modification added to each unit." Zale stepped around the right side of the porta-potty door. "See that out-of-place company name, Jolly Green Porta-Potties, LTD? Just to the right of the vacancy, no vacancy sign, and on the edge of the side panel?" Zales hit the painted symbol with a mighty thump from the rubber mallet. The door groaned and popped open. Instantly, Zale snapped, "Team 1, leave Gordo for the moment. Bring the other gurney, and now, not the 12th of never." Zale scowled at the Sino-Sheriffs. "It just has to be one of those days. More paperwork." "Same here, Commander Zales," offered Bo. He added, "Yeah, Zales, we have forms in triplicate for a variety of such unexpected events. Wrist slashes, I take it those metallic flat silver rectangles on the floor are tiny blades. CS Form 2793H for us." Zale shook his head. "DA Form 7747, I think. My executive secretary back at the base will know the proper paperwork. Jose is not one of my rangers or civilian contractors. That may make a difference," he added. "Let's move aside for the medical team. We'll head closer to the camp area. I see Padre Cruz has my coffee ready, just in time, too. He's late, but he's not my soldier, and I was too busy anyway." Zales dropped the rubber mallet by the porta-potty. "Thanks, Padre Cruz," said the commander as he clasped his hand around the heat-resistant koozie sleeve that held the red plastic cup of hot coffee. "And thanks for zarfing it, Anselm. I hate scalding my hands on coffee cups that come without handles. Koozies are always welcome." As they were walking, the commander snapped, "Bard, as soon as my medtechs get Jose out of the head, send your she-help in and have her clean it up. Just a quick job and sanitize it. We don't need an official investigation. We have witnesses, and it is patently obvious what happened. Now, as far as how long it took to find him, that may come back to bite us in the tuchus later. As far as cleaning, the sewer department crew back at the city will do a more thorough job later." "Will do, Commander Zales," replied Bard. Zales sighed, opened his mouth, and closed it again as the leader of the Earth film team came bouncing up to the group. Big J sprinted up, out of breath. "The video is good, Commander Zales. Amigo. My patron, Big Bird, will be happy." He waved the USB card, then repocketed it. "I put a new one in just in case another cryptid walks by. Although Amigo, in this film, the cryptids are all clear, but the two angels, mostly they are just flashes of wavy colored lights, unless they are very close to the camera. Angels, snapped Zales, why didn't anyone tell me during the sit rep? Good angels or bad angels? Were they enemy combatants or civilian support? Zales growled, don't answer that. Wait until the briefing. We will move up our briefing until after we have eaten on the blimp. We won't wait for my briefing room. He paused. By the way, it is good that the film team has met the Sino sheriffs, and you have good quality footage, Big J. If you haven't guessed, the mission is over. That is why I sent the blimp rather than the spare, Skipjack. The mission is over, amigo? Asked Big J sadly. Affirmative, Big J. You and Jorge and Gomez may as well start packing up. Successful or not, the mission has ended, ordered Zales. Now for the bad news. Orlando Bard, Lady Q, has been kidnapped.
What?
Exclaimed Bard. Bard noticed that Mystica, out of earshot for a human, but not for an elf, now carried a grim, puzzled expression on her face. Zales added, yes, this morning assassins came through the old White Naga castle tunnel system. I thought that entry was destroyed. Professor Q's students and her two giant Naga warriors, Sumo and Amazonia, were at the carnival. Lady Q had rented the carnival grounds and her students and faculty were playing the carnival game. Sort of a field trip. She was finishing up some accounting or record-keeping of some type and was going to join them. Who kidnapped her? Or don't you know? Asked Bard. Well, answered Zales, Sumo, her male Naga master trainer, said that he could smell that dark Atlantisian human, and Naga assassins had been present. He found a few hand-chew tail prints or snake oil smudges, too. Any idea where they took her? Asked Bard. No, replied Zales. I was hoping you could do your magic like back when you helped me on the Dragon's Roost rescue mission. Of course I will help, Zales, any way I can. But I have no idea where the Dark Assassin's Guild is these days. Any more clues or info? Asked Bard. This is not a clue, but they also took Lady Q's suspended animation machine. Her eggs were all hatched, but the unit is gone. They never found her father's old warehouse and science lab. The assassins never touched the computer that runs the holographic arena or the nursery training program. No high-tech toys disappeared. The only things missing were Lady Q and her suspended animation chamber. So, complained Bard, you don't have any concrete clues about where they took her. I didn't say that, Bard. There are clues. They just don't make any damn sense, snapped Zales. What other clues? Asked Bard. Mystica walked by with cleaning supplies, some in their miscellaneous equipment and a few items borrowed from the medics. Her ears were angled behind her as she entered the porta potty. Zales replied, first, we did a quick recon of the White Naga Castle ruins. They had parked a ship, just like a skipjack, but bigger, in a grass commons near the old castle courtyard. I have heard Ambassador Wong and Reva discuss that ship. It is the upgraded model of a skipjack cruiser. Bigger passenger capacity. They are better designed for long space travel, can travel through solid objects, and it has laser weapons and tractor beams. Offered Bard. He paused. Your next clue, Zales? Where is Mool, Bard? I have not heard of that village or district. I checked our maps, and there is no place called Mool, replied Zales. How do you know, asked Bard, that Lady Q has been kidnapped and taken to a place called Mool? Zales fished in his shirt pocket and pulled out his cell phone. Even with the radiation shutting off the phone signal, I can still access my photos. Let's go into the skipjack and close the ramp. All the features will work on the phone then. For sure, he added. You want to join us inside, Sheriff Bo? Sorry, there isn't room right now for every one of your sheriffs. Especially now that we have two bodies in there. At least one is in stable condition. Thank you for your offer, Zales, replied Bull. We'll have to take a rain check on that and the free meal, too. We will go back to our village. I have never heard, Commander, of a place called Mool. However, our computer database may have data that I have never accessed. We will send our courier to you if we find any information. Good luck, Bard and Zales. Sheriff Beauregard whistled, and his deputies followed him into the elevator. With a soft, rasping rattle and grating of stone, they were whisked away as the cubicle descended into the depths of the butte. The floor-tiled cover of the elevator dropped even with the temple. Neither Bard nor Mystica could see the outline of where the secret elevator door should have been visible to their keen eyesight.